Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
So I'm going to do something a little different. Second song, I just felt kind of overwhelmed a little bit. And today, I mean, this whole series, we're talking about our lives being interrupted, and today we're talking about Mary, and Mary's interruption started with an invitation. This is not normal. And I just felt like, before we even got into this, that we'd just be still. And there's this old thing that, I don't even remember the first time I saw it, but or heard it, or was asked to do it during. But palms open and up is kind of an invitation. So I just want us to be quiet for a second. God. I asked God to direct me a minute ago. It's probably a bad idea. But I'm going to just be quiet and just, I think God wants to interact with us. He wants to mess with us. But he's not going to force his way into your life. So if you're interested in God having his way, put your palms up, and we're just going to be silent for just a second. Lord, we want more of you. Every one of our problems comes when we settle for something other than you. And so, Lord, right now, even before we get into your word, I just pray that, that you would have your way, that you would mess with us in any way you need to get us to pay attention to you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh. Well, good morning. I'm going to cut them for what's going online. You know, a little message. So if you've not met me, my name is Heath. I'm the lead pastor here at Reach. And I'm grateful for the job that God has given me and the mission that God has planted us on. And you're here in week two on a series that we started last week, our Christmas series called Life Interrupted. This one's going to be another visit from the angel Gabriel. This time a young woman named Mary. And I think part of the hard part of any stories when we get around familiar text, even if you've not read the entire Bible, even if you're unaware of most of the Bible, most of what we're going to talk about last week, this week, next week, and the week after are things that even if you've been loosely around Christianity, you've heard things. And the problem with that is sometimes we hear things and then we set those things as the only way that we can see the things that are there. And I would encourage you as we're going through the text, and we should look at the scripture as our authority, not as something that we align with what we already think or believe. And so as we go into the story with Mary, I want you to realize that God has been planning that moment that we're going to talk about today from the beginning of time. Galatians 4:4-5 says it this way, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman born under the law to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. Here's the reality and the truth of the scripture today. Without him, that is impossible. There is no adoption as sons. There is no relational connection to a holy and loving Father outside of the work and ministry of Jesus alone. And when it was the perfect moment, and I've heard people talk about like how pivotal, like why did Jesus come 2,000 years ago? Why not 1,500 years ago? Why not 3,000 years ago? Why not yesterday? And there's some really cool stuff out of like where the world was at that moment and how quickly what happened in this could be transferred to most of the known world in a short period of time, mostly because of a wicked and evil empire that built good roads and set up systems of connections. But when the fullness of time was ready, God did this. God's purpose was to fix what was broken by the first sin. That sin stained every one of us. If you sit in this room, you have what Jesus doesn't. You have an earthly father that passed a seed, the sinful seed, to you. And if you're born of a natural way, which if you're in this room, you have. Don't get into all the other things of, well, I was, you know, you were. You have a biological mother and a biological father. And because of that, every one of us entered into this world with a piece broken in us. A piece that, if it isn't fixed, has no hope of connecting with a loving father. That sin stained every one of us, making us unfit for life, unfit for the life, for the one thing that our hearts truly long for. And that's a connection to our Father. It's ingrained in us. We were created in His image. Whether you are a believer, whether you're not a believer, whether you have nothing to do with Christianity, whether you don't care about Jesus, God imprinted on every single person to be known and know the Father. I would go as far as to say is that longing in your heart can be traced back to every desire that you now have. Good or bad? I think most of our sin nature that works itself in what we do is because we're longing for connection. We're longing to feel something. We're longing to have that thing. Well, it's not that thing, that person, Jesus. And because we don't know, we try everything else. Read Ecclesiastes. Solomon did a solid for you and went through everything and told us that it didn't work, and we still are missing the one thing that we want. This moment marked the beginning of the end of that separation. God put on flesh, walked among us, and became the final lamb sacrifice for our forgiveness of sins for all who put their faith in Christ. But for this to happen, God had to interrupt someone else's life. And we talked about this. I truly believe this. I don't think that if you consider yourself to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and your life has not been interrupted, that you're probably not a follower of Jesus. You're probably not a disciple. Because we were all going our own way, all doing our own thing. And when we get introduced to Jesus, He begins to take us out of that place, reshape us, and take us somewhere else. That's the interruption. And that interruption doesn't end. We don't have this moment in Christianity. And I think the South has done a poor job at this. Many of you grew up, if you grew up in the South, you probably were lied to, and I don't think it was even intentional, but I believe this. When I was younger, I grew up in church, I grew up in Central North Carolina, and I kind of thought, like, as long as you think and believe the right things about Jesus, that you're good. Some people are like, oh, what is he talking about? I thought, in my naive whatever, as long as I identified with Christ, meaning I told people that I was a Christian and I had a moment with Him, that the rest of my life was really mine to do whatever I want, that I had this fire insurance, I had this card that would allow me entrance into the Father. And that's not what Jesus came to give us. He didn't come to give us a pass, an all access pass to heaven. He came to have relation with you. personal, intimate. He came to interrupt your life, but he came to interrupt it in a way that would lead you to life, not away from it. Remember, every child of God has committed themselves to this: your kingdom come, your will be done. And he will continue to interrupt your life and mess with it until you surrender to that call. Because there is nothing more important. Nothing. There's one thing that will last for eternity, and it is not in your house or on your possession. It is the soul of man. And if we don't get that in our skin and in our hearts, then we'll sell our soul for a bigger house and a better paying job and stuff. And Christmas is the worst. It's the worst, especially in our culture and the way we do it. It's about, you know, like even in me, like I'm excited about getting stuff. I'm excited about having things. You know, dad's going to give me this, mom's going to give me this, or whatever. And the truth of it is, none of that is going to satisfy my soul. But we lose sight of what Jesus is trying to do, the gift that he's trying to give us for these things that are lesser. So before we get into, we're going to be in Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. We're going to walk through a very familiar story, kind of see some of the truths about it, some of the prophetics about it, but mostly about this interruption in this one little girl's life. And really we owe, and I don't mean elevated her in the Catholic sense. Mary is just, you may be offended by this, but Mary is like us. She's special, and I do not degrade what she did for us. But Mary was chosen because of the grace of God. So before we get into the word, let's pray. Father, oh, speak through your word. I don't want to emotionally move people into things. I want the Spirit of God to move through your word to us. So Lord, would you open and soften our hearts to hear and see and experience you for who you are. Lord, we don't want just an emotional high. We want a connection to the living God. So thank you for your word. And thank you for all the story people, all the characters in this story that we're going to be going through last week, this week, and next week. Thank you for their willingness to be a part of your story. Lord, let us do the same. We love you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, if you weren't here, we dealt with Zechariah, which is the father of John. Zechariah went into the temple on his, it was his time, twice a year. They would go in and serve at the temple, and he got chosen to go in, not to the Holy of Holies, but right outside of that where they would burn the incense. It was his privilege. It was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for him. And when he went in there, he met this same angel. And that angel told him that his prayers have been heard and they were going to have a son, even though they were old. And that son was going to be something that he fully understood. He understood the words that were prophesied out of Isaiah 40 of who his son would be and what this meant about the coming Messiah. But he doubted. And in his doubt, God, through the angel, punished him with silence for that whole 10 months. Where he was unable to share the story. We're going to see something similar happen with Mary, but she's going to be treated completely different, and I'm going to try to explain that the best that I have the ability. Verse 26, Luke chapter 1. It's going to be right here behind me if you don't have your Bibles with you. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth. See, he was born in a despised city. There were prophecies that the Messiah would be born in a despised and held in low esteem. Isaiah 53:3 and Psalms 22 talk about this. The city of Galilee and Nazareth was seen as the bad part of town because their city were filled with Gentiles, and contact with Gentiles made them unclean. So the good Jews looking from outside to this little hole in the wall town would be like, ooh, you live in, like for those that grew up in New Hanover, you live in Brunswick County. you may not know that because now it's like Brunswick County. Like, woo, we live in Brunswick County. But like back in the day, like when we first moved here 12 years, they're like, on that farmland and trailers? There wasn't much here. But this was a town that it was like, you know, not special, which I think is awesome, which I'm going to talk about a little bit. In John 1, when Nathanael was told that the Messiah was coming from this city, Nazareth, he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? This was like a known thing. Like, why would God show up to this city? God does nothing by accident. It wasn't like, I wish he didn't live here. But like all of this was intentional. Jesus was born of lowly people in a bad part of town that would open him up to others just like him. The people of the day, the religious people of the day, were stuck up and thought way too highly about themselves and wouldn't interact with lowly people. And when Jesus was interacting with people that they didn't think he should, they would judge him and be like, oh, if he was a prophet, he would know who was touching him. And he hangs out and eats with sinners and tax collectors, which is no big deal because we go into restaurants all the time, sit near people and eat around people. But breaking bread with people was a big deal. It was a cultural acceptance to that person. So to have meals with these people would basically be saying, hey, you're good. And Jesus did that, and they didn't like that. And here's this guy born in this city, but what it did, it opened him. The sick would be seen, heard, and no longer held at a distance. Jesus actually said, I didn't come for the well, I came for the sick. And for all of those who understand their condition, amen. Amen that Jesus didn't come to all the people that had finally fixed all the issues that they had, but he came to the broken. He came to the lost. He came to rescue and redeem. Verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, the virgin's name was Mary. This is betrothed. We don't really talk about this in that way, like if we'd say they're my fiance. But in this culture, and we're not going to get into it today, but like they're basically married. To get out of what they're in, they have to get divorced. They're not husband and wife yet. They've not been united as one. That's why she's still a virgin. But they're promised. And that promise is a bigger deal than the ring that you gave your fiance. Like, to get out of that was a big deal. Hundreds of years before Gabriel visited Mary, Isaiah prophesied, a virgin will be conceived and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Genesis 3:15, the first promise of God's plan. I love this one. I think sometimes if you're not aware and if you look at the Bible, you're like, God has really lost control. You're like, what is he doing? What is going on? Genesis 3:15, at the beginning, he says, I will put enmity between your seed and his seed, but his seed will crush your head. That seed is talking about this moment. And this was at the beginning, and everything leading to that led to this exact moment that God intended. Nothing is ever out of his control. And I know that hurts because sometimes life hurts, and you're like, if he's in control, why doesn't he make this better? I don't know. And anybody tells you exactly why he's doing it, they are confused because we don't know the mind of God. We may have ideas of what he's doing, but we have no real clue of what he's doing, even in this moment, because he's doing things right now that won't make sense maybe until next year, next month, next week, or maybe not into eternity. But these things, he's working to our good and his glory. So why does this matter? Other than the miracle of a virgin giving birth, big deal, which later on he's slandered by these same Pharisees. Well, we're not, you know, basically born out of wedlock. We're seeds of Abraham. We're not like you. Other than him fulfilling the prophecy of being born of a virgin, there was greater reasons. He had to have both humanity and divinity. He had to be one of us, to be punished as one of us, but he had to have divinity. If Jesus was just a man and was sacrificed, even though he was a great man, even though he was a good man, if he got sacrificed just being a man, his death would not do anything for us together. Same with the lamb. The lamb, when they sacrificed the lamb, it would only be for this moment and for this person. It wouldn't be across the board. It would be for everyone. So he had to have both of those. The virgin birth would also mean that Jesus did not inherit the curse of depravity that clings to the seed of Adam. So not only was it intentional and needed, but he didn't carry. So just like I mentioned earlier, for him to be born of both mom and dad, he would enter the world like we were, sinful. Like day one, out of the womb, we have already failed the mission. We have already missed the mark. But this eliminated that because he didn't come from that. Both Mary and Joseph, which we'll talk about this a little bit, were of the line of David. This was important because of 2 Samuel chapter 7 prophesied that the Messiah would come from the seed of David. And between the two genealogies that are listed in the two gospels that have them, one makes it, it leads it up to Joseph, which we know Joseph isn't the biological father, but they wanted both. They wanted to make sure both Joseph and Mary were of the line of David so that this child would be born from that promise. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Last week, the angel showed up in what we would consider a holy place, which you think that would be normal. And one of the great things about our God is he doesn't just show up in this one place. He showed up to Mary outside of that, in a city that others would be like, "Why would you even go there? You're going to be tainted even being near it." That wasn't the case for her. This was a big deal for her. Oh, favored one, the King James or New King James says highly favored, and this literally means, and this is important, full of grace. Because sometimes we think, was favor, and I'm not saying she was not, just like Zechariah, just like Job, some of these other people, that God looked at them, but they weren't perfect. They weren't sinless. There was still had to be grace in the decision that was made. But we talk about this all the time. When an angel shows up, we think about like, "Oh, this would be great. This is like excited. Like, I want to take a picture with you." No, when they show up, like we talked about this last week, typically when the angel showed up, two things were happening. You were getting a message from God or you were getting judged. Terrifying. And remember, this had been 400 years of silence, so not many people were thinking, there's a messages are going around. They're probably thinking, judgment. Verse 29, it says, "But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be." Oh, favored one. Because here's the beauty of Mary. She was humble in this. She went like, "Of course the angel would come to me." I think some of us in this room, we think God owes us. And if God showed up, we'd be like, "What took you so long? Why haven't you been here?" Because we think we deserve it. Mary wasn't sitting there waiting for this moment, reading, because they were aware of the text. She probably knew about the Messiah, knew about some of these things. She may have even thought, like, "I live in this city that he may come from. And like, it could be me." She wasn't thinking that. When the angel showed up, she's like, "What could this mean? What does this mean for me?" She was humble in it. Remember, she was a nobody from a bad part of town. Verse 30. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. I love angels. Love." They should have a t-shirt. That should be their t-shirts when they show up, unless it's "be afraid." It should be afraid or be not afraid. And you're like, "Okay, whew, we're good." If it gets smudged and you're not sure what it says, that's terrifying. "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor in God." Remember, again, that favor is you found grace with God. She found favor with God, but that says more about God's goodness and grace than Mary's. She was the recipient of God's grace, his undeserved favor. Verse 31, and behold, you will conceive. He got right into it. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus literally means Jehovah is salvation, because that's what he was doing. That's what he was coming to be. It doesn't always make sense at first, and she, young, I mean, there's speculations that she could be anywhere from 14. I mean, she's young, 14 to 18. She's a young woman, and she's living her life, engaged, and I'm probably thinking, I mean, like, I'm going to get married, and she's probably excited about the future. She's probably never thought, hey, I'm going to have a baby outside of wedlock and be considered trash to a lot of people for a long time. See, this interruption would change our world. The birth of Jesus has changed our world, not only our dating system. The life and ministry of Jesus has done more to shape our world than anything else. And then he goes into talking about this son that she will conceive. She said, verse 32, it says, he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. This term, Most High, is simply another term for God. And verse 35 shows the child will be born and called holy, the Son of God. He's clarifying, not only will he be great, because remember, Zechariah got a message that John is going to be great. Not this type of great, but John was going to be great. John's going to be preparing for this greatness. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. This is what these people, the Jews, have been waiting around forever, 950 years or around that. He came as the son of David and as the son of God, a Jew to vindicate every promise, and a man to identify with every nation. Verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. This is what they have been waiting for thousands of years. This is the promise that they finally are going to get their king. Not the king that they think they want. We'll deal with that on a different Sunday. And then verse 34, and we'll compare this a little bit to Zechariah. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be since I am a virgin? There is an innocence in Mary's question. Not doubt or disbelief. She was not like Zechariah. She was just literally asking, how is this going to happen? Because Zechariah had a wife at home, and he could probably, like, I know how we can get there. I'm trying to be very nice in that. I know how we can get there, but he was held up on, but we're old. Like, I don't know how that's going to work, even though he knew about the story of Abraham and Sarah, and God had already. But Mary was just, in her innocence, like, how? Like, how does this work? And the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is all language of, like, the people of God, when the presence would come over in the cloud on the Holy of Holies or on the mountain, this was this overshadowing, the presence of God. This is all language that she would understand. I mean, not necessarily in getting the result that she's going to get, but she understands the language of what they're saying. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child will be born and called holy, the Son of God. Here's the truth about your life with Christ. You cannot make it happen on your own. Mary could not just, if this didn't happen to her, she couldn't sit in the corner and be like, baby, I did it. It couldn't have happened without this happening. And when it happens, you feel it and people see it. I hate to do this, Kelly, but You're here. When you're carrying a baby and real close to that baby coming out, there's no hiding what's going on. And this is what, I'm sure life is interrupted. Everything, your sleeping pad, everything is changed, and you're aware of it. And I believe that that's the reality of our life with Christ. We're carrying him constantly, and that relationship should be changing the way we're interacting, the changing what we're doing. I remember we went on a vacation a long time ago. Greg's been trying to fix this for years, but I keep saying no to him. We were on a trip. I think it was a cruise, Jody and I. And Jody was pregnant with our first kid. This was a long time ago because she's 22 now. And she was showing, but not far along, maybe 6 months pregnant. And we wanted to go on an excursion, and we had never ridden jet skis. We're like, yes. Like, jet skis sound great, and we're going to go through this jungle tour of whatever island that we were on. And we were so excited about it when we got there, and the lady looked at us. Looked at Jody, looked at us, looked at Jody, and she's like, no. And we're like, what? And she's like, you can't. She's like, you, like on the jet ski, she didn't speak hardly any English. She was like, no, no. So it changes the way you act or what you can do. Our carrying Christ. It should change the things that we do, the things that we interact with, and how we go on, because we honor and respect this thing that we're carrying, because we want the life that comes with it. Verse 36, and behold, your relative Elizabeth is in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I love this phrase. We should have this heart. Behold, I am your servant. I am the servant of the Lord, the bondservant. That's literally like I'm a slave to the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Next week, we're going to spend some time talking about Joseph. I think if I was Mary, I'd had a contract. Be like, okay, Gabriel, I'm not sure that my betrothed is going to be for this. And he'll probably be very confused. Can you come with me so that we can, so if he sees you, like, it'll make some sense. No, he just goes. And I don't know if Mary understood all the implications, but this phrase is saying, let it be so. And that let it be so means that I'm going to have to tell people that I'm with child, this person who in their culture, literally, she could be stoned for what they believed happened, not this. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, just think about it. Just think about going to your fiance. I'm with child, but don't worry, it's from the Lord. I mean, could you, like, how many husbands in the room, how many understanding men do we have been like, praise the Lord, I've been, yes. And we're going to be talking all next week about Joseph. So here's some things for you. Are you willing to be bold like Mary? Are you willing to trust the Lord even if it means your life will be interrupted? And I believe some of us in this room, maybe all of us in this room, teeter on decisions like this. I think most of us understand that if our life was wholly devoted to God, it would look different than it does right now. The way we think, the way we act, what we do, it would be different than the way it's we're living it out right now. And I think it's terrifying of the implications of what God is inviting you to. Because it starts with an invitation. And I believe this morning God is inviting you to trust him with things that you don't know where it's going to go. Mary didn't know how this was going to play out. I mean, you see this through her life. She treasures these things in her heart. When the shepherds show up. There's all these things that are confirming what's going on, but she walked out of wherever she was, out of this moment with the unknown. And that's what following Jesus is about. We need to know enough to know that we know who we're following, but the steps forward are going to be unknown. Mary had no idea where this road was going to lead. It could have led to her death. It could have led to her divorce. I'm sure it led to a great amount of shame that was not hers. Behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Where is the word of the Lord calling you to? What promises of God are you afraid to step on or stay in because of the insecurity of what it may mean to say, I'm trusting God in this? I'm going to invite our worship team back up. I got a few more questions for us. We, every Sunday, intentionally place a song at the end of our service. I'm fully convinced that usually when God begins to do something in us and for us, the easiest thing that we can do is to respond to it then. The hard part is responding to it later, because you may think, oh, it'd be better, I'll wait until I get home and I'll be able to think about this and I'll be able, and I don't, it's not that I don't want you to think. Don't hear that. But I understand, partly because we pray over this building, our elders meet at 8:30 every morning to pray over the service, and we invite the Spirit, even though this isn't our building, tomorrow they'll be feeding people in this room, and it looks a lot different than this on Sunday. Shout out to the setup team. But I know that when you walk out those doors, a lot of things that seem pretty clear in here are going to get clouded. And there's a high likelihood that if God is actually doing something for you, the moment you walk out these doors, the opposite warring entity, the enemy, will love to thwart, steal, you know, the parable of the seeds. Crows came, the hard ground. There's so many things it's trying to take away from the thing that God wants to do in this moment. And so I just want to ask you again, where is the word of the Lord calling you? Are you willing to be bold like Mary and trust in God that she only knew from afar? Mary knew her like many of us. Knew God not as personal, meaning that Jesus was going to make things personal, but Mary was going to know Him personal. Are you ready and willing to stop knowing God as information, but knowing God as person? God desires to not be known about, but to be known personally. And that only happens as you allow God to interrupt your life. So, where has God been poking into areas? Where has God been trying to deal with things in your life that you're like, this is off limits? There, anything you keep God out of will wreck you. Because if God wants in it, He's trying to help you in that thing. Because everything that draws us out of that place that God wants us to be is always going to cause issues. I would love to promise, we are not a health, wealth, and prosperity gospel church. I would love to say that if you step into this, everything's going to be great. Your bank account's going to get a hit tomorrow. You'll never, all that, you know, the little head cold that you may have right now, gone. It's just, that's not the reality. It's not a true gospel. The true gospel is that God will work in and through you even when those things aren't away. And I, for those that love James and Romans 5, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds. The hard part is, and sometimes we don't get to that other place. We don't get to be whole and complete outside of that. And some of that interruption is willing for this mess that sometimes happens in our lives to just go, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't like it. Read David in the Psalms. You can whine to God, and it's okay. But David got to the end of those whining sessions, and he said, but I trust you. And so that's what I'm asking for. Again, if you would just, if you want to receive from God, just put your hands out. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to worship. Father, being wrecked is no fun. But Lord, I will take no fun if it leads me into your grace and your mercy. And so this morning, as we sit asking, inviting you in, maybe into places that we've kept you out of, maybe into areas of our life. And maybe some people in this room have kept you out of everything. So this morning, I pray that we can have the faith like Mary to say, we're your servant. We want you. Lord, let it be so as you have said. Lord, we want you to change our lives. We want you to change our families. We want you to bring healing and restoration to pieces that are broken. Lord, we got to be willing to let you into those things. And so, Lord, this morning, maybe through salvation, maybe through just a willingness to repent and lay things down at your feet, or maybe just a willingness to open the door and say, God, have your way. Lord, would you restore and rebuild? So, Lord, I pray that you would allow us to worship in a way our understanding of who you are. Lord, thank you for Mary and her story. Thank you for her willingness. Let us be as bold as a teenage girl that met an angel and was willing to carry the Messiah into this world. Lord, we want to do the same thing. So Lord, have your way with us this morning. We pray these things.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.